You're listening to the Meadows Podcast on the Porch with Bob Arnold and friends. We're wrapping up our current series called The Great Sadness. We've heard many stories from community members and friends about how God has transformed them through their suffering and pain. You can stream all of our podcasts at themeadow.podbean.com. We're currently offering a four-week course called the Spiritual Development Forum, an opportunity to develop a deeper divine intimacy. The sessions take place on Wednesday evenings at Grace Fellowship Church in Timonium, Maryland. To sign up for upcoming events and learn more about The Meadow, go to www.meadow4.org.
Well, welcome back to The Porch. Today we're going to talk about what I believe in very strong language is one of the great heresies that is very, very prominent in the church today. A heresy that just deeply wounds people, hinders them from really dealing with the sadness they have in their life. Well, I remember one night getting up in a very, very sad state and just almost completely exhausted by Marcy's death. This was probably 6 or 8 months into the experience. And I'm sitting there rehearsing one of the things that I guess I learned in Christianity. And I said to God, God, I thought you were going to take my pain away. It seems like all my pain does is continue to magnify. And, you know, I realized at that point that really wasn't the true God of the universe. This was a God that had been constructed, that basically everybody said that God was going to rescue you from every problem. Well, I think in the midst of the great sadness, it's very important to understand that God is not necessarily going to rescue from this sadness, but he's going to take and use this sadness to really magnify your soul. And the great heresy that I believe is what all of us know is prosperity theology. And it's really, I think, far more prominent than we give credit to it. It's out there in a lot of messages that people are preaching every single Sunday. They're telling us things are going to get better, that if you accept Jesus, your life will be wonderful. And, you know, at the essence of prosperity theology is that it's all about, you know, God promises health and wealth and wisdom, and you'll have everything you need in your life, and your life will just be continually one step after another going up. And it's such a deep, deep lie that there is no way possible and that it's true. And it deeply, deeply wounds people. I can remember about 10 years ago, a man that I know was dying of cancer, and people were coming and praying with him and basically telling him that if he had enough faith that God would heal him. Mm. Well, shortly after that, the man died, and it was a very, very sad scenario. So he basically died believing that he didn't love God enough, and that's why he wasn't healed. But the real horror and tragedy all was just what that did to his family. Because as his family sat there and witnessed people telling him that, they lost real, real confidence and faith in God. And I think it just leaves you in just a devastated, wounded place. And of course, they tell you that you're going to be prosperous financially, and there's no place in the Bible that tells you you're going to be prosperous financially. The prosperity the scriptures talk about is spiritual prosperity. And the reality of the matter is spiritual prosperity comes a lot of time, basically through suffering. It doesn't come through comfort and safety. It comes through people that are willing to take risks and have courage. And so prosperity theology, you know, people will tell you, well, it's like, you know, you're like Moses and the Jewish people being trapped by the Egyptians. And what's going to happen is God will come and rescue and open up the waters and you'll be able to walk through that. They'll tell you that God is always there to rescue you. But I think if you've been listening to the Great Silence, the reality of the matter is a whole lot of people, that's not true of what is happening to their life. You know, the story of Marcy dying in our family, you know, these are real life things that happen to people. My good friend Dick Holden, who lost his wife, you know, I was with him and he was very honest and he said, I sure wish things would have turned out different. But the reality of the matter is we live in a world that's very fallen, where very, very bad things happen to good people. And so the question isn't, is God going to solve all these problems, but finding God in the midst of our suffering. Now, Bev is here with me again this week, and she's my co-host. And one of the things I wanted to talk about, and I was with a friend of mine last week in Washington, and he was saying he's so tired of people in the church having healing services, and so when someone's going to die, they're all about praying for their healing. When it becomes very, very obvious that the person's going to die, still those people are afraid to admit the reality. And he says, how can this be that Christians are so afraid of death when in reality we know who holds the key to death? We know the reality of death. Instead of entering into the person's, you know, death, we hide, we run away from it. Because prosperity theology says you can't doubt. You can't enter into that reality of where your faith isn't absolutely positive about the healing. And, you know, so many people that have been close to people that are dying, they tell you that it's one of the most wonderful moments of their life. And the thing is, that really takes that great, great spiritual opportunity away from you. And it denies that reality that there is something rich and wonderful, that you can be there with that person in deep presence while they're entering into the presence of God.
It's funny, too, because you think about Christ. He had, his path was a path of descent. Before he ascended, he descended.
Yep.
And for us in our life, the path is of deconstruction. It's of descent. It's of the undoing of all that we know so that we become finally familiar with the truth of who we really are, who God really is, what our life is all about. But the path of descent is, nobody wants to sign up for that train.
And see, the thing is, you know, is really, if you look at the scriptures, you look at the history of Christianity, the reality of the matter is that's where people lived.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at Paul in Acts, just the devastating things that occurred to him in life. And then you look at Job, and what Job's statement is, you know, the question is, who would love God if there were no benefits?
Mm.
And the whole gamble in the story of Job is Satan said, God, no one would love you if things went bad for them. They only love you because you give them all these good things. Anybody would love you for that. Well, the story of Job, which Job somewhat but successfully chartered, was, I would love, you know, even though he slays me, yet will I love him.
Mm.
And, you know, that's the thing is, who would love God if there were no benefits? And that's the highest place. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're going to honor God. You put me in the fire, you put me in the fire, but we're going to honor God. And this is the place of the, you know, of the highest thing of entering into the depths of the suffering and knowing that God is with you, and coming to that deep realization. And the thing that you were alluding to with Jesus, you know, is, see, we talked in a very early part of this about the cross being the symbol of Christianity. And the thing that stands out most about Christianity is God, the mighty, almighty, powerful God of the universe, comes down as a man and enters into our suffering. And the passage in Isaiah really tells the story of who God is, of who Jesus is, and what the way that he came and entered into our life. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one with whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, though, he took on our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds are we healed.